The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
This sermon is called The Wisdom That Comes From Above, and the idea of it is this. God is reaching His world not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. He is doing a work even in this moment that is glorious and grand and thoughtful and wondrous. And this work is being done by those largely who have a relationship with God. The Bible says the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. It is open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It says the wisdom comes from where? Above. What do we need? Where is our help? He is on the hills. He is in the hills. He is crying out to us predominantly by the hill called Calvary, where He gave His life for others. And that is our call and election. And that is the beginning of the wisdom that comes from above. And the question is, do you know Him? And do you have a relationship with Him? Because the Bible is filled with the idea of the Spirit of the Lord, that is the invisible presence and person of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into the human soul and making Him alive, and making her alive, and changing her from the inside out. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the Bible says, and you will be my witnesses. But it comes from a wisdom from above, because we need all of Him that we can get. We need the dunamis, the dynamo, the dynamite, but dynamite blows up things. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need the Pentecostal power for the Pentecostal purpose, which was what? Reaching out to the lost at any cost. And first of all, it starts with our lives. And then our lips. The wisdom that comes from above instructs us to be more and more, and empowers us to be more and more factually and in reality like Jesus. And we need help to do that. We need God's Spirit. God is reaching His world not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Point one. Secondly, the Spirit sends people out. My father-in-law, Dr. Earl Morey, some of you know him, some of you don't. It really doesn't matter his name. He has gone to be with the Lord. He was a foremost Bible teacher in the world. David Duplessis was a man used by God. He wrote a book called The Spirit Bade Me Go, called me to Himself. And this is kind of what the passage is about. And Duplessis felt led to go to the denominational churches. He was what they call a Pentecostal. He was someone that believed the Holy Spirit of God was alive and active and working in human beings' hearts. And he just wanted to remind the churches of that. And so he went to the Catholic Church, and cardinals were moved by his witness to the degree that I believe in certain parts of the Vatican, people would pray and sing and worship the Lord in spirit and truth. My family, out of a Catholic background, were so enamored with the gifts of the Spirit that they gave their lives to Jesus, not only as Catholics, but as evangelical believers within the Catholic Church. God was doing something through this crazy man in the Methodist Church, in the Presbyterian Church, in all these places, because he was obedient to the Holy Spirit and went with Dr. Morey to the Reformed Church in Europe, to the Lutherans and to the Presbyterians, because Morey was his elucidator. He was his spokesman for this experience, and the Bible expositor, the Princeton PhD, did help him to do this and gave him an imprimatur, a print that something real and alive and wise and prudent was happening out of this movement that suggested that men and women could have an individual, vital relationship with the God who created them. The Spirit bade him go. And the job of world evangelism, which is what we're looking at in this passage in Acts chapter 11, is not to be done by you, it's to be done by Him. What we're to do as this passage finishes up, you'll see this phrase. Barnabas was faithful and steadfast in his purpose. And the wisdom that comes from above, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking, we must be faithful and steadfast in our purpose. When my wife was ministering with me, as she has for many years, she said she is an amazing person. Even though she is 3 feet tall, I'm just saying, love you, baby. You know, good things come in small packages sometimes. No insult intended, but your daughter is here this morning. She's one of those children over there. Kristen is like in the middle. I know she's smaller than all of her children, but that's my second child. Now, where I'm going with this is Melanie had 4 children. She had ministered with me on the streets of D.C. doing street preaching, Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson, all these places, crazy White House. She was a good singer, and so she would sing in the group that we brought, and I'd do the evangelism. And she worked with our youth ministry endlessly. People are in this church that are leaders in this church because of her love and guidance. She was so sweet and amazing. Her gifts are profound. Everybody knows that. She's an author of many books and all that. Having said all of that, a day came when she had 4 children where I probably... And those of you who really know me, and there are a few here, I'm sorry you really know me. She said, I hope she did with me, that she could no longer travel with me to these things because of the responsibility and obligation of raising these 4 children. And so this put her in a bit of a tailspin emotionally. She's never been clinically depressed, although there's no shame to that. I'm sure many a man of God and woman of God has been in that position. Life can get extremely tough. I got it. I deal with anxiety more than depression. But having said that, my girl back there is thinking, what's to become of this exciting, amazing life of purpose when I am just at home with little ones? What does this mean or matter? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her, and she was alone. And she sought the Lord. And here's part of the point that I will make over and over. The way we'll do the Pentecostal job is through Pentecostal power. It's through Jesus' power working with it. So she's alone. She's alone with Him, and she probably goes through this process of confession. You confess all your sins. I don't know if all that's necessary. In fact, I know it's not. But we do it. Confess your sins. Ask God to rebuke Satan and every demon power. Shut up my own heart, mind, and inclinations. I want to do your will in the final day. And Lord, make me dead to those. And then speak to me. If you have anything, I'm here. I'm your friend. You are my friend. You are my Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You knew me from before the foundation of the world. Won't you tell me what to do? I'm down. Her prayer went something like that. And here was the answer. A scripture came to her mind. She has not, and I hate to reveal this to everybody in the room, she has not memorized the whole Bible. Sorry, honey, she really hasn't. I'm a little disappointed, but okay. Isaiah 8, 16 through 18 came to her mind. That label, that address, and she looked it up. Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. That means lock this thing up. I will wait for the Lord. This was the word to her. Who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. That's God's people, that's Melanie. And I will hope in him. Not in all these ministries, in him. I will wait for the Lord. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. Her life was properly attenuated, tuned to that home, to those children. You know, we had 9 children. Why did we do that? Because children are an heritage from the Lord. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. We were out to change our world, and that was our unique instruction by the Holy Spirit in seeking Him. So what happens out of that? Basically, all of them are in ministry. The little girl that's here with her family today, in some ways, has had the most profound ministry because she has worked with troubled women for years. She got notice from the state of Missouri and all this, and I could boast about you, Kristen, forever, but I won't. He has been faithful to my son Brett, who is a theologian, to these different ones, to my son Aaron, who was heading up JMU's Campus Crusade. I can go through each child to tell you what, that Bill is really talented, and thank you for that prayer. I love you forever. But the fact of the matter is, he emblazoned himself on this weak and pathetic sinner. You know, when I give my witness, I say I need Jesus because I'm somewhat crazy and weak and fleshy and easily dissuaded from my task and purpose. But when Christ does the work, and when I make that kind of confession, which the people who are with me know anyway, they begin to hope in Jesus. If he can take this guy and do something with him, then maybe he can do something with me. Having said that, bind up the testimony. The Holy Spirit wants to give you wisdom from above. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Lord, that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. All of the Jewish people who had been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who had been somewhat transformed, who were excited, still believed that they had to obey the law and all of its precepts, which is an impossibility. Let me say it again from J.B. Phillips. The law of God, which is a beautiful thing, is the straight edge that shows us how crooked we are. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And then Jesus further elucidates it, saying, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed it. Gentlemen, what are we to do? We're undone. We are undone on that one point. And the law of God has hundreds, if not 1,000 points of light, demonstrating and looking at his beauty and his desire for our holiness. But we cannot do it in ourselves. That's the point of Jesus. I came that you might have life. And that, well, didn't they have abundant life under Judaism? No. They were shown how far short they fell of the goodness and perfections of God. But when God came through Jesus, he came that people might have life and be filled with something beyond themselves that makes them better than they can be in themselves. They heard the Gentiles also had received the word of God. This is unheard of, the Gentiles. Picture it this way, Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are these sick gods. You know, there are little children here. They burn people. They do really, really horrible things. And in a worship of their gods, it's still happening. We just don't call them gods. We call them our freedoms in our country. We're in a desperate place, friends. That's why I preach. Jesus Christ comes into this situation and he gives his life and he dies. Why? To take away the sins of the world, because people through the law could not be perfected. It's a beautiful thing, but they could not be perfected. And here Paul is, and he goes up to Jerusalem, and the circumcision party was there. The apostles and brothers had heard about what had happened with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Gentiles, which seemed impossible because they were so immoral and crazy. And Peter goes up to Jerusalem, and the circumcision party criticized that. That means vital Jews who knew the Lord, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them. They didn't understand the further work that God was doing. Mark described it last week, and I don't want to do it again. He did it too well. I cannot do it or replicate it except to tell you that the ceremonial rules were off the table. Perhaps those animals, it would be better that we didn't eat so much pig. Maybe that would be good for us. That's a possibility. It may also be that those particular foods that come down from heaven in the piece of cloth that the Lord shows in just a minute here, maybe they were representative of demonic religions, and just the symbol of them was bothersome to the Lord. Theologians scratch their heads and wonder at exactly what this was about with the animals. But let me read on, and I'll explain a little bit. They go to Jerusalem, and the rigid Jewish people who were now in Christ and had not been fully taught said this, you went to these heathens, and you ate with them. Now, there are a lot of people that pick on the tiniest things in churches. Don't do it. Don't pick on your brother and spy out his freedoms and find fault with him all the time and criticize and carry on. W.A. Criswell talked about a church that was divided, totally came apart, separated, because the choir had an argument over having the piano on this side of the choir, come on, this is dangerous stuff, or here. Which shall we do? And a battle broke out, an intellectual battle, probably revealing all kinds of other stuff. They forgot Jesus and they worked on the piano. That's kind of what's happening here. You went to these uncircumcised men. But Peter began and explained to them in order. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet, descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Remember, this is Peter speaking, a prime leader, the prime leader in the early church, and a man who had performed many miracles. So they had to listen, even though they utterly disagreed with him. It was not right to even eat with a Gentile. It was never right to go into a house. You shall be holy, separate unto me, for I the Lord am holy. So we are not being holy if we do this stuff. But they were so wrong, because now they'd been made holy by the act of grace of God, of his very life coming into them. But they didn't understand. Looking at this sheet coming down closely, it came down to me. I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered, second witness, a second time from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. Now, lock in on this. This is probably the whole message here. I mean, I'm going to continue, but what God has made clean, do not call common. And in that, he wipes away the law against ceremonial foods. You can eat them. You can drink. In Galatians, it talks about the idea that it's not food or drink that are important anymore. It's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy, it's the inner transformation. Without going into that, and there's a lot to be said, that we'll do Galatians another time. But here you have this action happening, and Peter's trying to explain it, and God says this, lock and load with this, what God has made clean, do not call common. And he says it three times. By two or three witnesses, the scripture says, let something be confirmed. One, a Trinitarian blast from the Lord. And now look at yourself for a moment. What God has called clean, you must not call unclean. Does God love you? Do you have faults and failures and weaknesses and the remnants of a sinful motion in your person? But has he called you clean? Has he not said you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that you're a brand new creation in him? How do we balance that out? We balance this on the Jesus side. Father, forgive me. He comes along, he cleanses. Father, fill me with your spirit. Father, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Give me your life. I exchange my life for that. And what God has called and made clean, do not call it unclean. Do not call yourself unclean. Now, what does this mean in terms of reaching our world? There are some people and cultures, let's just tell the truth, that we rightly, righteously should dislike terribly. Let's just talk the American culture. Forget all the religious cultures. Some of the things that are being done today. 9-month-old babies in the womb. I don't want to say more with children in the room. Open season. Just that is enough to make one sick and separate from all those who come from that persuasion for the Christian, just saying it. But God wants us to view all humankind as our mission field. And although, like me, they are and were unclean, you must not call them common. You must come to them because, like Jesus, you so love the world that you give your life for them. You walk where others won't walk. You fellowship with people that if you looked at it, they would think this is strange. A Christian trafficking with this particular individual and caring and loving this guy that has done this. I've spent most of my life working with drug addicts, friends, and some murderers along the way. Most of it, a large part of it, I know those guys, my dear friends, better than I know you, truthfully. Spent so many hours. Why am I doing this? That I might win some through the power of the Holy Spirit. Having said this, what God has called clean, you must clean. You must not call common. Now, you'll say, Bill, this has already been preached here by Mark. Right, you should know that, absolutely. The reason it's repeated, why do we repeat something? Anybody want to say? Just one word. You only get one word. What? Yes, to learn. Repetition, we say in coaching and teaching, is the mother of all knowledge. It just is. Other teams don't do this. Only the good ones. We double and triple down on certain concepts for emphasis to establish a rock-like foundation in our person. And right here he's saying over and over again, in a sense, what God has called clean, you must not call common. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. No limits, no bars. Go there. Be with that person. Love them as Jesus did, coming to a fallen, crazy, insane, and broken world. And the reason he emphasizes this, and we kind of know it, just Luke only had 35 feet of papyrus. That was the biggest scroll they could make because they'd get so big, you couldn't haul them around. And so he uses every part of this 35-foot thing. That's about the size of Acts in papyrus. And in that, where he has almost an infinite amount of information he could give about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, twice he gives this full story. Why? Why? Because it's important. It's really important that you know that you are not dirt, you are not lead and rusted iron and bad seed. Oh, no, 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 no. What God has called clean, you must not call common. And in your society, he is the great picker-upper. He is the bounty that cleanses the broken and darkened heart. What God has called clean, you must not call common. And behold, at that very moment, this thing has happened, this thing has dropped down three times. At that very moment, God's timing, there is a mighty God, and he comes into your life. At that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which were sent to me from Caesarea, another city some miles away. And the Spirit told me to go with them. Note that. And the Spirit told me to go with them. Bookmark that. Making no distinction. Go to a Gentile's house. And six brothers also accompanied me. That makes seven people, seven witnesses to what Peter was about to do in going into a Gentile's dwelling. This is Cornelius' house, you'll remember from our teaching previously. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, Cornelius had seen this. They entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen the angel standing in the house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be made whole, saved, made whole, you and your whole household. And I began to speak. The Holy Spirit fell on them, and just as on us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, immersed and not taken out. It's a baptism. We're going to do three baptisms this morning. The only mistake in what we do is we let them out of the water. A baptism in the Holy Spirit is to be permanent. Baptizo, you're there, good, gone, and forever, filled, renewed. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said this. If then God gave the same gift to them, to the Gentiles, he gave this gift, as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the unbelievers, to the false religionists, to those who were doing evil, if he gave them the grace that he gave to us, who was I who could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, those who were criticizing him for going to these people fell silent. And they glorify God and saying, then the Gentiles, also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Have you received his life? They tried him for meeting with Gentiles. They thought that that was still evil and vile and wrong. Peter says, oh no, times have changed. And he has there with him, himself and six other men, seven witnesses in Egyptian law and all kinds of law. If you have two or three witnesses at court in this land, I think generally speaking, you win the day. But if you have seven witnesses come into an Egyptian court, and everyone knew the Egyptian legal system, which was pretty good. It was a slam dunk, 100%, you're right and your inquisitors are wrong. The proof of Christianity always lies in facts. This man's life testified to his truthfulness and the lives of those seven men. Our words will be guaranteed to this generation, to your culture, and to your office, and to your family. Thank you for what you said. By a life lived well because of Jesus. It's the fact of your life. And your change, not so much your great goodness, but my comparative life compared to who I was. It's startling. Now, those who were scattered because of persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyrus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also and preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to God. What happens here is a group of people, not named, have believed that they can talk to Hellenists, which are the Greek-speaking Jews, and not only that, to Gentiles. Somehow the word had filtered that God had expanded the fan of his love, the breath of the Holy Spirit over the whole world. These people are not named. We don't know who they are. They don't get the name Bill Jesky like that's somebody. It's nobody. I guarantee that. But God knows your name. And these are unnamed heroes. Unnamed heroes. You know, the real heroes in war are those like this, who give it up for their fellow men, not looking for credit, but looking for a life saved, the transition of their life, the giving of their life for someone else, nameless, nameless missionaries of the Lord Jesus. And you know where they go to share the gospel? One of the places, it's called Antioch. There were three major cities in this era. One was Antioch, one was Rome, one was Alexandria. I think we're going to have to handle this next week. But these were despicable places. Antioch was unspeakably evil. Do you know it became almost the center for Christian outreach in the whole world because of these nameless individuals giving it up for Jesus, and then finally Paul coming in with Barnabas to make a difference. We're out to change our world. We cannot do it ourselves. We need the wisdom from above. We need to hear the same voice that Peter said when he said, go with these men. The Spirit said to him, go, are you listening for his voice? What is he saying to you in your times of intimate relationship with him? And finally, do you know that God loves you? And what God has called clean, you must not call common, ever. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and kindness, for your word which is able to save our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions, every part of us, and prepare heaven for us as a free gift. Lord, let us do the ABCs, admit we're sinners, believe Christ is the only Savior, and choose to follow him. If that's your prayer, if that's your desire, look to the Lord. Just look to him. Ask him to forgive you. The Bible says, look to the Lord and be saved all the ends of the earth. Do that. He'll hear you and make you whole.